reading John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Well, Moses described the span of mankind's life as follows. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labour and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Well, Moses' pronouncement is as true today as it was when he penned what became Psalm 90. Despite the many advances in modern medicine, the average age in this country is still just over 80. When I was a boy, I don't know about you, but the period between one birthday and the next seemed like an eternity. Today, one birthday follows the other like hotcakes. It's as if time accelerates as we get older. The question we all have to ask ourselves is, what are our lives going to count for? For John the Baptist, it was very plain. He was a most remarkable child. His parents were godly. His father, Zacharias, was a priest in the temple in Jerusalem, and his mother was called Elizabeth. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5, it says that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. However, they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and now they were in old age. Friends, it reminds us, doesn't it, that just because you don't have all the natural health of others, it is no bar to being righteous and being regarded by God as righteous. All hope for Elizabeth of bearing children must have left her. That is, until one day, while going about his duty in the temple, an angel appeared to Zechariah and announced that his wife would bear him a son. The angel said this, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. For and so it came to pass, in due course, Elizabeth became pregnant with John." Just to show you how remarkable this child was, 6 months later, her cousin Mary, while still a virgin, became pregnant by the divine operation of the Holy Spirit upon Mary, producing the Lord Jesus. We read in Luke 1, verse 41, that when Elizabeth went to visit Mary and heard her greeting, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, John's life was marked out for him from his birth because God had a special plan for his life. Well, you might wonder what relevance John's life has for you. Many of us sitting here might have parents who were not Christians when we were born, and indeed may not even have been married. Nevertheless, the Bible is clear that every soul belongs to God. This is something we read about in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We are all created beings, created in God's image. We are each sent into this world for a purpose, and we will all give an account to God for the way that we've lived our lives. In Hebrews 9, verse 27, we read that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. In the last book of the Bible, in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, we read about that judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The call of God was on John's life from the moment of his birth. No doubt his parents diligently brought him up to observe the law of God. We read in Luke 1, verse 80, that the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts to the day of his showing unto Israel. This was prophesied about him in Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. So friends, how we start our lives is important. Every parent has the opportunity to bring their children up to love and fear the Lord, like John's parents did. Proverbs is full of encouragement for parents to teach their children the things of God from a young age. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The purpose of the Sunday school work is to teach children about the Lord Jesus, how they can know him, and how they can serve him. At the end of the day, however, we each bear responsibility for how we will lead our lives. John would have been made very aware of God's purpose for his life from an early age. But please don't think that God sending specific work people into the world in any way lessens our responsibility for the choices we make. Don't think, well, John the Baptist was special. I'll never be like him. And so I'll leave faith for others. Many people will say to a Christian that they admire their faith, but they don't believe themselves, as if the call of God is just for a certain specified group. Yet this is not the teaching of the Bible. In 1 Timothy 2 verse 4 we read that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God wills everyone to go to heaven. When Paul the Apostle was preaching on Mars Hill in Athens, he told the Greeks in that great city, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17, verse 30. There is no one exempt from this command to repent of our sins and return to God. In reality, we each need to take stock of our lives. How are we going to spend the rest of our time in this world? The Bible commends those who decide to follow the Lord Jesus at the beginning of their lives, using all their energy to serve him rather than themselves. We read this in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. It's so tempting to leave off the decision to follow Christ until we're older. But then, what have we gained? We've gone through our working careers, we've got to the end of them, and we settle down to a life of pleasure. Maybe we say we'll settle down to a life of serving God when we're 70 or 65. But it might be too late by then. You might have contracted some terminal illness. You might drop dead of a heart attack. And then what is your life? Remember the warning that the Lord Jesus gave us. What does it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's not just gaining the whole world. It isn't just about seeking to own everything. It might be giving our lives to the investigation of the world. All sorts of things. Look at archaeologists. They might not be making a fortune, but they've still decided to spend their life in the pursuit of knowledge, in the pursuit of discovery, but discovery of things that just belong to this life. What does it profit them? The same as it profits any man who gains the whole world, who will lose his soul. It gains nothing. It profits nothing, friends. We may not have had the remarkable start in life that John the Baptist had. Indeed, no one has. Yet, there is still a call on our lives. And it's plain that it is possible to miss that call. We may think that God has a purpose that only we can fulfill. Yet we forget that God is able to accomplish his purposes without our assistance. I don't know if you remember the account of Esther. She was queen of Persia, and the king had passed a decree to destroy the Jews in the empire. She was Jewish too. And Esther's uncle Mordecai said to her, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther was appointed in her place as queen with the specific object of honouring God by petitioning the king for the deliverance of the Jews, even risking her life as she did so. Well, she could have decided that she would just prefer a comfortable existence, to leave it to someone else, to hide her origin. And how tragic that would have been. There would have been no reference, no book of Esther in the Bible. Just perhaps a small footnote warning us against refusing to hear and obey the call of God. Well, the call of God will come to all one way or another. And I trust that we might hear that call even here this morning, as we consider John the Baptist and his remarkable ministry of turning the people of Israel back to him. It's important to see a little of his ministry and what that call meant to people. We read a bit more about it in Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? He answereth and saith unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. First he reminded the people that it was useless to think that they could just come to John for his blessing on their lives. So easy to think, isn't it? We might have an understanding of hell. We might be desperate to avoid going there. You can always think of rats in a sinking ship. What do? They rush out to try and save themselves. And it can be a bit like that for us. Coming to church every week on its own is no insurance policy to avoid damnation if we don't act on the word of God. True repentance means a change reflected in the things that we do. The Roman Catholics teach penitence, that we have to pay for our sins by acts of penitence. This is not what John the Baptist was teaching. Instead, he was demonstrating that repentance involves a 180-degree turn from the direction we were going in. The Lord Jesus contrasts the two ways that there are in life. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. That is the contrast. To change from one path to the other is literally turning around. Because one path is going to hell, the other path is going to heaven. You can't be going on both paths together. They don't run in parallel. Rather, they are, in effect, like two sides of a motorway. Or, perhaps we should say more accurately, a motorway for one side going in that direction and a little goat's path going in the opposite direction. Those are the choices that he puts before us. Look at the examples that John gives. Well, the people who came to John, I should say. He said to one, if you have two coats, give one away. Don't know if we have hoarders amongst us. But what we're being told is if you've got more than you need, give away the clothing that you don't need. And that would go also for other things. Same with meat. If you've got more food than you need, give it away. Tax collectors were told, You just go back to the passage itself, sorry. Exact no more than which is appointed to you. That their problem was that they extorted money from people and took more than the taxes that were due for their own pockets. And he said to the soldiers the same, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. I don't think that was saying leave the army. I think it was saying, don't abuse your position in the army. And one's heard of many accounts of violence and rape committed by undisciplined soldiers in past conflicts. And John the Baptist was saying, do none of that. Don't make any false accusations, because, of course, in those days, the soldiers were the policemen as well. I always remember a scene from, I think it's Casablanca. I wouldn't watch Casablanca again. I wouldn't recommend it. But I remember at the end, there was one scene where the chief of police, who was at the close of the film, said, round up the usual suspects. Well, rounding up the usual suspects is making false accusations against people. Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages, true today as it was then, for all of us. Let us not be greedy. It is inconsistent with the call of God. He needed to remind the people that it was useless to come to John just to proclaim blessing on their lives. Friends, repentance is tough, and it requires a complete about turn. John pointed all to the Lord Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus came, he called and sent his disciples in turn. And in turn, they called and sent others. It has always been the way for the people of God. Go back to Isaiah. I read that passage to us at the beginning. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah, calling himself I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is sent away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And that's a classic example of the calling of God, and it applies to everybody. Paul had the same on the road to Damascus. Friends, what Isaiah saw is what one day we will all see. He saw a holy God who not even the angels could look at. He was so sinful, so aware of his sin, that an angel had to come from the altar to touch his lips, because he was so sinful. And no man can stand before a holy God. Only one who is cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for each one of us to cleanse us from our sins. What Isaiah saw, each of us will see at the end of our lives, friends. And what Isaiah was told was, he was told to go to his people and to preach to them. It's always the way that we, as God's messengers, are sent to warn others to flee from the wrath to come. Look at our society. People are full of confusion and fear. They have no answers to life, and they have no answers to death. And many, although they may not admit it, are scared of dying. In fact, I imagine that the minority are not scared and the majority are scared, and some very scared. And I invite you to go back, or even maybe now. How do you view death? See, as a Christian, I now view death with equanimity. I don't fear it. But I did fear it once. Well, the calling of God is to send people, just as he sent John, to warn us all about what comes after death. And it won't be the first time you've heard this from me. But the Lord Jesus spoke more about hell than anyone else in the Bible. And I include Revelation, because that was the message of Jesus Christ. If you take the Gospels and Revelation out of the Bible, where, I ask, do you learn about hell? It's hardly there. You can find it in Daniel chapter 12. Paul makes reference to it, but he doesn't explain what it's like. But the Lord Jesus, who came from heaven, who was there when Satan fell, said he saw him like a flash of lightning fall. He knows what hell is like. And he described it. Friends, we need to take his warnings seriously. He calls and he sends. And he says in his word, many are called, few are chosen. Many may hear his call even here this morning. But who will be sent? Who will be sent? Those who are chosen. It's those who will make the decision for Christ and follow him. Those are the ones who are chosen. And the call is for today, not for tomorrow, not to be put off week after week. But the Lord Jesus looks to us today. Remember Isaiah. Isaiah couldn't go back another day. He heard the call. Who shall go for us? And he immediately replied, send me. There's a call for each one of us. And how are we going to respond to it? Friends, we don't know how much longer we've got to live. We don't know whether we'll even have tomorrow. Don't forget, our lives are like a vapor, as John aptly puts it. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Friends, it's such a short life. Are we going to continue as we were before? Remember, God sent John to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is verse 7, the second verse of the reading. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He wanted to point everyone to the light, for people's souls to be saved. Everybody God calls and sends, he sends for that purpose, to preach the gospel to them, the good news of how they can be saved from their sins. That's the purpose of being called and sent by God. And friends, It's the same message today. Will you hear that call? That call that John issued. That call that the Lord Jesus issued. That his disciples issued. That every Christian has issued down the ages as the baton has been passed. Will you take up that baton yourself and call others to repentance and saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? It involves our whole lives. It's not just about baptism. I hope you understand that. John says, look, my Father can raise up, God can raise up children of Abraham from these very stones. We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Friends, he doesn't need us, but he's calling us. Will we heed that call? It's my plea to all of us today that we take the call seriously. We've got one life. Let's live it to its conclusion for Christ and not for ourselves. You'll be familiar, many of you, with what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Before you and I were born, God had ordained good works for us to walk in. Good works for us to do. You can't do them on your own. What's going to happen at the end of your life if you've done nothing, if you've continued in your own course? Those good works will have to be done by another person. You would have missed your opportunity to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will have to give an answer for that failure. Let us not be of that number who will be ashamed of themselves on that great day, which could come at any time. Instead, let us be faithful and remember that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That man pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, just as every disciple of Christ's ever after have pointed people back to the Lord Jesus. He was sent for a purpose. He was even sent for you and me, because his example of pointing people to Christ applies as much today as it did when he spoke those words. Let us heed them. Amen.